Episode 11, Sly Crocs, Women Caddies, and Member Guest. Cole and Rusty get back together this week for another episode. We discuss the new drop Sly Crocs that both of us end up getting into. The Oldfield Member Guest is this week, and Cole plays with the sponsor, Mr. JCB Golf. A couple other items are discussed, updates on ETH, Live Minute, here we go. Before we get started, we have to give a thanks to our sponsor, Spartan Insurance in Greenville, South Carolina. The owner is a friend of the show and a friend of mine, Jay Keller. He deals with every form of insurance, from personal to commercial, and will take excellent care of you and your insurance needs. Give him a call for a quote today, 864-533-3350, or visit his website at www.spartaninsure.com. Welcome, welcome. It is Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, and I have with me Roos. Roos, what's going on, buddy?
Chilling, Cole. Just, another day, another dollar.
Another day.
Lost.
Yeah, lost. I like it. This is Web 3 Putts. I'm Cole. We've got Rusty here tonight, and we're going to talk golf NFTs as we always do. Markets are not good, as you mentioned. NFTs hit or miss, but some new stuff going on this week for me, at least. I think I told y'all last episode or two weeks ago that I was on the pre-mint list for Sly Crocs. Which,
that's right.
Yeah, Sly Crocs. So I minted that last night, pre-mint. It hasn't revealed yet, but I got my Sly Croc egg. Tweeted that out if y'all want to go check it out on my personal, but yeah, pretty pumped for it. It's DraftKings' first PFP project. I listened to a Props and Drops earlier where they were talking about it and had Strong from SupDucks on their show, and he kind of explained it. But pretty exciting. I've got that going. I'm excited to see what happens with it. They're doing a little rarity thing where certain traits are going to be have certain utility, better utility. So hopefully I pull a rare. I haven't before, but hey, we can start somewhere. Someone's got to start somewhere. So hoping for a rare, and they've got their own Rainmakers contest for Sly Croc owners for week 6. So I'll get a free Rainmakers pack for that. So maybe I'll dive into Rainmakers too once I.
How did you see the process go? Was it pretty seamless? Was it something that you had to do research on, or
very easy, especially if you're used to NFTs? But even if you're not, it's much simpler than trying to, because it was in dollars. You used a credit card, so if you have, if you know DraftKings and you got money in your account, I just funded my DraftKings account. I went over to the DraftKings marketplace. They have a tab, and one of the first ones it says drops, so I clicked on that and just hit mint. Since I had a special link since I was in the pre-mint. Right. Put that in, and yeah, just use my funds from my DraftKings account. Very simple, very easy.
And if I'm not mistaken, for their marketplace, it's not app based, right? You have to. It's a website based, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
I tried to do it tonight. The public mint was yesterday.
Yesterday and today, if there's any available still.
Yeah, and I went on the app, but I could not. It wouldn't allow me to do it.
Yeah, I don't think you can get to the marketplace on the app. It's just the sports bets, fantasy football side. So you have to actually be on a desktop. Learned that the hard way myself last night. But other than that, it was very simple. As long as you have a computer, you can get over there and get one. You should get one. They for $99, I mean, maybe I pull a rare, and it has a lot of utilities. Like I said, the first DraftKings PFP, so maybe there's something there. I don't know. We'll see.
Actually, I stand corrected. You can do it on the app now.
Oh, really?
Actually, no.
Yeah, I don't think wrong. So, because I tried.
You have to. It took me to the website.
Yeah. So.
There's only 2,500 of them?
Yep, only 2,500. There was 1,000 pre-mint for Supducks, and then I think there was 1,000 for DraftKings. So depending on, I don't know if Supducks filled all 1,000. So I think there's still some left for public. But art looks cool. You know, if you like Supducks, Frankie Nines is the artist on Slack Rocks. He did the Supducks, King Frogs, Megatodes. You can check those out. It's going to be similar, but a crocodile. It look pretty cool. I'm pretty excited to see what I pull.
Yeah, they're sweet. I like the crocodiles.
Yep. TBD. But how about you? You been buying any NFTs lately? Have you made any moves?
No, I made a sale though.
Oh, flip to a doodle?
I mean, not a good flip.
Okay. What'd you sell?
It's a project that was, I think I mentioned it. It's Mirrors of Space.
Yeah.
And I got, like I said, I got a rare one, like number 127 out of 7,000, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm like, oh, this is, again, this is my time. This is my time. Actually, no, this was, I mentioned this in my rant that didn't get recorded. And then the project just was dropping like flies. And I was looking on OpenSea on my wallet the other day, and somebody had put in an offer that was like, had like 4 hours left on it.
Mm-hmm.
That was 200% over floor.
Ooh.
And I'm just like, I'm getting rid of it. I'm done. It was not a profitable one, but it was one that at least I got, I think because of where I bought it at and where ETH was then and where it is now, or when I made the sale.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a massive loss.
Okay.
But you know, it's the project, I've been looking at it on Twitter, like they don't tweet, you know, I don't want to say it's a rug. I think that might be too harsh.
Yeah.
But like the floor price now is 0.005.
Ooh. Yeah.
And I sold at 0.02, and I think I bought at 0.035 at the time.
Okay, not terrible.
I bought pre-reveal, right? So, you know, I'm okay with it. You know, it sucks to lose a little bit here and there, but at least I'm not, you know, holding on to something just because I have to now.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a few of those projects in my wallet, as I think you do too.
Sure.
That you're just holding on to at this point because, you know, why sell it? Mm. And so, yeah, I made a sale. Pumped my bag a little bit with some ETH.
There you go.
And, you know, been looking. I think I told you I was looking at some Atom Bomb Squad.
Yeah, we need you back in the squad.
I need to get back. I might just transfer that ETH over to the Web3 Plus wallet just to pad our stats a little bit.
Yeah, I was,
but I don't know how that works with like individual taxes. That's why we put out the tweet in the Instagram post this week. Yeah. If there's anybody out there that knows tax experts or an expert on crypto or NFT tax, we would love to have them on for an episode in November, December,
mm-hmm.
before the end of the year, so we can, you know, people are going to get burned. People don't know what they're going to do one way or the other. So I think it would be a good starting point for us to, you know, not that we're scholars here, but we can at least educate the people in Brazil.
Yeah, I mean, your loss there is probably a good balancer for any gains you might have, at least when it comes around to taxes, you know. Can't have all wins.
Not, well, I don't have any. So
true.
I do know that there is one project that I will not be buying into.
Mm. Which one?
Did you see that CNN pulled a rug pull?
No, I didn't.
Well, I didn't even know that CNN had their own NFTs.
Me neither.
Until this week. But apparently they started their own marketplace in 2021.
Okay.
Called The Vault.
Yeah.
And from what I was able to gather on everything, they were selling art, pieces of history, whatever that might be.
It's like Van Gogh's and stuff, or like, you know, like that kind of
no,
art?
I don't think that's what it was. Trying to pull it up here.
It's like,
see if I can find it. But regardless, people had bought into it. I think they raised like $300,000 in sales.
Okay.
And they announced today, along with, you know, a lot of the things that CNN's doing. I don't watch that channel, so.
Me neither.
I wouldn't know about it. But yeah, Rugpull. It was all over Twitter.
I guess that's what you get for watching and believing in CNN.
I guess so. I think I just put $100 into my DraftKings account on accident.
Slyke Rock. Slyke Rock.
Let's do it live on air.
Live on air. Slyke Rock time.
Bought one. One Slyke Rock.
Let's go.
Congrats. You got it.
Nice. Reveals tomorrow.
That was a complete accident. I did not mean to put that. I was just going through everything. And
yeah, I love it, though. Love it.
So there was
$100
and I guess we'll see.
Meant to be.
We'll see. We'll let everybody know next week when we get there.
Yeah, maybe it's a rare. Maybe you got the rare just because it was live on air. You know, you got some good luck, maybe. Love that. That's your first entry in the SupDucks ecosystem, right? You don't have any ducks or frogs or nothing, right?
No ducks.
Sweet.
Love it, though. Love the SupDucks.
Yeah. That's
great. Now I'm a Slyke Rock.
We'll see you in the Discord.
You will not.
Roos, you changed. You got your name back, so yeah, we're good. We'll see you in the Discord.
That's right.
Sweet. Yeah, so we'll see tomorrow. Maybe one of us will get something. Something sweet.
And it's on Polygon.
Yep.
Which I know nothing about. I mean, I used to have some Poly. Sold it. Actually made some money on it.
There's NFTs.
I don't know how. I guess.
The NFTs that 8-Bit gave us are all Polygon NFTs, too.
That's right. Yep.
It took me a minute to figure out how to transfer them, but I believe DraftKings will custody those NFTs for you, but there's like a waiting period, like 20, I think it's 21 days, and then you can transfer it out to your MetaMask or hardware wallet.
Yeah, okay. Getting back to CNN, they are going to, since they shut down their marketplace, they are issuing a 20% refund for anybody that bought into it.
20%? What was the price? Do you know?
I don't know what the price was. 20%. They're basically saying that originally this vault was supposed to be a quote-unquote six-week experiment, their first foray into Web3, and now they're no longer going to be developing or maintaining this community.
So there's...
It was minted on the Flow blockchain, yeah. Which I believe is what NBA Top Shot's on.
Yeah, and I think Doodles was looking at doing some stuff on there from what I heard one time.
Okay, yeah, it says
supposed to
many
be...
of these NFTs were minted as little as $10 at inception, so...
Okay, okay. Well, 20% of that.
Not huge. Okay. Obviously, they only did 300,000 since 2021, so, you know, that's like a day in Bored Ape.
Right.
So they're not anything but, you know, typical CNN fashion.
Typical. Speaking of Bored Apes... Did you see the big news this week with the SEC and everything?
I did. But then, and this can kind of bring us to another thing. We'll get to it in a second. But apparently nobody even knows why.
Yes, I was reading an article today about it, and it doesn't actually sound like it's a bad thing. You know, you read the headlines, and it's like, oh, God, they're going down. But... from what I read, they were basically trying to figure out if they violated any federal laws with the NFTs and the ApeCoin and a couple of things of that nature. Apparently, Yuga is being very cooperative with them, trying to, I guess, kind of set a baseline for other projects and kind of the space that's so new. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's more of trying to figure out guidelines and the rules going forward, some regulations in crypto, because it's been the Wild West, as we both know, for so long.
I was reading through some of the posts on Twitter that people were responding to, and it sounded like it wasn't around the NFT or the projects. It was more around the ApeCoin and how, you know, they basically airdrop, you know, 15% of the 1 billion, you know, 1 billion supply of ApeCoins to their existing NFT holders.
Yeah.
And basically turn, you know, some people were making $200,000-$300,000 if they sold ApeCoin at its peak. Probably more than that. I don't know, but
so I think they're just trying to make sure there was no federal laws that were broken there, and you know, they're trying to just get some regulatory action, just as we mentioned, is so crazy. There's no rules, no laws, and so overall, though, I don't think it's gonna affect the Bored Ape NFTs. I don't think we're gonna see any massive drop in prices or the overall market or anything. I don't think this affects the macro very much, other than in a good way.
Shit, I would say, knowing the Web3 community, it might actually pump.
Yeah, I mean, it very well could.
Anything from Yuga coming soon? I mean,
yeah,
the Rebels, Web3 Rebels. But this brings me to our Darren Revelle dumbass tweet of the week.
Darren Revelle. I think I followed him. No, I don't remember. But.
Okay. Well, I mean, he's a sports business dude, gets made fun of by literally everybody, even the people that work for him on their podcast.
Yeah.
With Action Network, a gambling site that I listen to a lot, their podcast. But he's the one that, again, shits on Web3, shits on NFTs. You know, he'll be the one that will post a CryptoPunk that might have sold for $200,000 last week, and then he'll say this date last year it sold for, you know, $450,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with no context to it, right? So he's not saying, well, ETH was, you know, $4,800 or and now it's $1,300.
Yeah.
He doesn't do any of that, but he quote tweeted something about SEC launches investigation in a Bored Ape Yacht Club creator, Yuga Labs. And his response was, who didn't see this coming from 100 miles away? Well, Darren Revelle, you don't know what you're talking about. And he won't respond to it. He won't ever come back. If it comes out, like you mentioned, to be a good thing for Bored Ape, or, you know, just to what it is, if everything gets cleared, he won't come back and say, I was wrong. That's just the way he is. That's the kind of person he is. You know, he's a shock jock, basically, shock in my opinion.
Darren Revelle. I'll have to see if I followed him and see if I can catch that tweet. But, yeah, it sounds like the typical footer.
That's what he is, man. That's what he is.
And there's plenty of those out there, unfortunately. But,
ETH at 1,300, huh?
Yeah,
ETH. I haven't even checked ETH in a while.
So I've been watching it because of our Web3 Putz wallet. You know, I was trying to pad some bags for us on the dips, and I have been. To give a little update on our wallet, let's see where we're at. I've been adding some funds, and I was gonna maybe we could buy an NFT on the show as well, but you already took care of that for us. So
we already did that.
Good for you. Let me see if I can get this up and running here. Web3 Putz. Got way too many wallets, man. So we currently have 0.106 ETH in there. It's about $138. So we're gonna keep building that up. Maybe we'll get some.
We'll build it.
Some other stuff. We still have some stuff to enter in there, but ETH kind of actually went up today. So I
1%.
I haven't been buying any ETH for our wallet in the last couple of days. So that's kind of where we're at with that. You know, if you look at it over the last week, it's actually down 5.5%.
Right.
And then the last month is actually down 23%. So, we'll keep everybody updated. We're going to keep an eye on it, but, you know, I think
let's get ETH down to like 1,000 again.
Yeah.
And then we'll pad it, because last time it pumped to back up to 2 real quick. So
that, you know, I was listening to that Props and Drops earlier, and they were talking about when he did that before, how there's so many bargains out there. I think Gary bought a couple of CryptoPunks. Yep. When that happened, and a lot of people are speculating 2023 is going to be a tough year in the market, maybe a crash. So we might see that happen, and I think it'll be some good opportunities to get some good bargains. I heard Matt Kalish, he picked up some Cool Cats recently because they're so cheap. The owner of DraftKings, one of the founders. So
yep.
There's definitely some good buys out there. I think we just kind of, you know, we're not going to jump the gun. We'll keep padding our bag there, and when we see some good opportunities, we'll get some NFTs for the pod.
And then we'll do giveaways, right?
Yes, we will do some giveaways.
Stay tuned, everybody. Subscribe, rate, review. You might get a Bored Ape one day.
That's right. That's right. If those things drop enough, we will have plenty to give out. We'll need some more sponsors though first.
Yeah, we'll just turn, like I said, we're going to turn into just a sponsor podcast. We'll sponsors for an hour.
Just the sponsor ads.
Finding AK and sponsors.
Finding that's AK, it. That's all we got. That's all we got. But
you see this stuff about this 0% royalties?
Yes, I did. I don't understand it. It was Utes, right? The God started that?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Utes, the God. Yep. Saw he was going to do that, but a lot of people are saying that everything's going to go towards that. I just don't know why or how you, why would you want to do that?
I'm confused by it, because the whole point that I understand NFTs, one of the whole points was to allow these digital artists or artists in general,
mm-hmm.
To get their product out there to people. And with no royalties, you're really just going back to like real world shit, where I paint one picture and you buy it, you go sell it and it keeps getting sold. It's no different than that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that this was, you know, something different for the Web3 community, to continue to give back to the artists.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's making its way, you know, away, like everyone says, making its way away from the art and giving the utility to the to it instead. I don't really know, but it is interesting.
Yeah, I think maybe we'll touch on it again next episode. I haven't looked into it enough. That was very fresh this week too when he said that, and
yes, it was.
I don't understand why, like you said, the whole point was to, especially like musicians and their NFTs, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's always been that the manager or the label has always got the royalties, the artist has not. That's what this whole thing was kind of about. So yeah, I don't understand really why you would want to go that route, but
yeah, I don't get it either. And again, I'll bring up Mason Rothschild, who I've brought up, but he put a tweet out 2 days ago.
Yeah,
he's an artist as well as someone who has projects, and it was basically saying that he was not a fan of this because creator royalties allow creators to own their own future.
Yeah,
perpetual kickback for art someone creates is what allows NFTs to disrupt outdated industries, shake the tree, bet on art and the culture that supports it. Kind of what I was saying, like it's more real world, you know, pencil and paper art type of deal.
That was kind of the whole point, you know, with all this. So yeah, I don't
exactly.
And I know things evolve and things will change as we move through time, but yeah, I don't get it. We'll have to.
Yeah, I just don't. Yeah, I don't get why you would want to go back to, you know, what these. I mean, if these artists really, I don't know, just go set up a gallery somewhere and sell it there.
Yeah, I mean, I know they make a lot of money on the mints and stuff, but I don't know how you sustain the project if you're not going to make any money either off of the additional sales. It's not like they're Where else are you getting money from to run the project?
It's a great point. Great point. I didn't even think about that part. But yeah, I mean, if you want your roadmap to be filled, you want, you know, in real life events, you want merch, you want whatever it might be, you want more airdrops, you want, you know, V Friends Series 2 or Supduck Series 2, Slackrocks, whatever. You're going to, you know, that money funds that. It's not like the royalties just go back into someone's pocket.
Yeah.
It allows you to, continue to build.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless you're just going to do a ton of drops and make people pay for more mints, you know, I don't know how you continue to run the quote unquote company doing that with no royalties. So we'll follow this closely. And
yeah, it almost feels like there's got to be something else to it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're just going to stop making money.
Yeah, I don't understand. So let's keep an eye on this. We'll continue to update folks on how this develops, because I think there's going to be a lot of naysayers against it, and then some people maybe try to go that route too. So it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds for sure.
Yeah, kind of like the CC0 deal.
Yep, exactly. And now that's kind of quiet again, you know.
Right, no one even talks about it.
Yeah, nobody even cares about CC0s anymore. So yeah, I don't know. We'll keep a watch on that. While we're still on NFTs, I know you said you sold your one earlier, but do you still have the, and I'm blanking on the name, but the skateboard guy?
Smilesverse?
Smiles, yep. Have you tried to flip anything towards anything else yet, or? Still pretty tough.
No, man. Like I said, when we had Jay with Spartan Insurance, proud sponsor. I'm just kind of laying low on it. I mean, it's just there's no
volume.
There's no benefit.
Yeah, there's not enough volume.
There's no benefit at the moment, at least, you know, with some of these projects that kind of like Supducks in a way where, you know, it got up to, what, 3-4 ETH?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's down to 2.22. Smilesverse was up over 1 or 2, maybe close to 3 ETH at one point.
Yeah.
All-time high. Now it's down to 0.1. You know, it's just one of those wait-and-see things. Still love the art. Still love, you know, whatever. But,
I mean, that was probably a good bargain, honestly. If they continue to, you know, build the project.
See, that's the thing. It's like, I'm not in the Discord, so I'm not real sure. You know, the all-time average price on on Smilesverse was January 31st, 2.7 ETH. So that was, you know, whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean the floor was, I guess, close to the floor was 2.7. So, I'm just holding on to it. Again, really enjoy the art. I'd buy it now. I'd buy another one and maybe try to flip that if it gets up to like 0.15 or something like that. But just laying low right now, trying to figure some things out, see what's happening. There is one project that I'm really excited about. It's called Kooks NFT.
Kooks.
World-renowned street artist Terry Urban. I started following Terry Urban on Instagram and Twitter probably a few months ago when I heard about this project. And the art's sick, as from like what he does, his physical art.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy looking at these, the PFP project part of it, the Kooks part of it. Mint date is 10/27, so a couple weeks away. And so I'm trying to get on that pre-mint list. Haven't got there yet, but
did you talk about this before?
There might be an opportunity on the secondary. I think I might have mentioned it in passing.
Okay.
They partnered with the Wreck guy, so there's like a, you know, that project Wreck guy.
Yeah. Is it Kooks? K O O K.
K O O K S. Yeah.
The Kooks.
streetlab.io.
Okay. I'll have to check them out. Sounds
they look cool. I don't know. I don't even know what mint is. I know that the to get on the pre-mint list, I believe you had to have 0.11 ETH in your wallet to have a chance.
Yeah.
But
did you have to grind in the Discord?
Maybe not me.
Most of those make you like do all that stuff in the Discord. That's why I never have been.
No, it wasn't one of those type of deals. Okay. You just got on the list, and I never got on it because I had like 0.09 in my wallet.
Yeah.
And until I just sold that one, so now I'm just gonna wait for the public mint, and depending on the price, I'll buy into that.
Yeah.
Because I really like it.
I like that. Okay, here it is. Are these that and them?
Nope.
No, wrong one. Wrong kooks. These are surf kooks. These are surf kooks. There's several kook NFTs. Did you know that?
Yeah. Here, I'll show you real quick.
This can't be it either. This looks like a rug. Crypto kooks. A lot of kooks, man. Oh, these are available now, so that can't be it either.
So here's like the wrecked guy kook.
Yeah, those are cool.
They're like little skeleton deals. Again, we talked about that. I enjoy skeletons.
Skull Crusher. Yeah, yeah, nice.
There was like a Native American one with a headdress and everything that with my Native American heritage, Indigenous People Day was on Monday, so you can...
Did you get a college scholarship because of your heritage?
I did not. There's one.
Nice. Yeah,
It was whatever the percentage was. I was like right below it.
What are you?
Actually, you know what? I didn't even like go through that process. My parents kept telling me to do it, and kind of like my college career, I was very late. I'm Cherokee.
Me too.
And Blackfoot.
Blackfoot. Blackbeard.
Black, not a pirate. Blackfoot. Wish I was a pirate.
Yeah, me too. I love pirates. I need a pirate tattoo. Skulls.
I've been wanting one.
Skull head.
I want a skull with like a, yeah, with like dreads.
Yeah.
Like a skull version of Jack Sparrow.
Jack tattoo. Sparrow. Captain of a sinking ship.
I would love that.
I'm Cherokee as well, but I did not get any scholarships either. I forget the percentage, but it wasn't enough, you know. My aunt was like 85, jet black hair, just straight Indian.
Really?
Yeah. Never dyed it, nothing. My dad's got a good bit more in him, too. He's got black hair still. He's 74 or 5, too. So, hoping the hair stays black. I don't need any grays. We'll do some rain. I need to do some rain dances, maybe, to my heritage. It's supposed to rain tomorrow.
It's raining here right now.
Yeah.
I need it. I just aerified the grass.
Yeah?
And got the seed down 2 weeks ago, so...
And you overseed it? It's
starting to pop, and this rain's going to really help.
Yeah. So, I just got a real mower. You know, like a sick one. Truebilt.
Zero turn.
No. Like a real mower. Truebilt.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Yep.
So you're gonna get that Bermuda nice and thin?
Oh, you know it. 1 inch, baby. Just cutting strips. So I haven't used it yet. Just got it this last weekend. But yeah, we'll have this grass pre-mow here pretty soon. Even though it's starting to die.
No, dormant.
Dormant. That's what I meant. Well, it dies. Do you love wines from Sonoma? Well, it's never too late to stop making bad life decisions. Dedicated to honesty, quality, and family, Bueller Vineyards is a fourth-generation vineyard and winery perched on a mountaintop just 5 country miles east of St. Helena in the heart of Napa Valley. Situated on 300 acres, their family has been farming Cabernet Sauvignon and Zinfandel for more than 5 decades. They attempt to combine meticulous vineyard management and minimal winemaking techniques to create wines of uncommon complexity and depth and to present these wines to their customers at a fair and reasonable price. Cab is king and Napa is its kingdom. Recruiting solutions. stay ahead of the hire. Recruiting Solutions is a full-service staffing, temp, employment, and recruitment agency with offices located in Greenville, Columbia, and Florence, South Carolina. With over 8 years of consecutive top 25 companies to work for in South Carolina, Forbes Top 100 Professional Recruiting, Forbes Top 100 Staffing Agency, and over 30 years in business. Whether you're looking for your next employee or your next career, give Recruiting Solutions a call.
Because I think we need on the pod, we need to set a date for the Web 3 Putts match.
Mm.
As we transition into golf.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that today because I was like, man, you know, I keep saying I'm going to be there, but I need to set a date.
You do.
I can work things around it.
Yeah. You keep saying October, but October is almost halfway over.
I know. And so, like, next week, not great because I'm going out of town Friday, so I can't make something happen that quick.
Yeah, I'm headed to Greenville.
I'm thinking we set the date for the week of November 14th.
November 14th?
On my end.
Okay. You're coming down here.
I'm coming to you.
The week of the 14th looks good to me.
Now, one thing we got to keep in mind as I'm thinking about that is that when is daylight savings time?
Ooh, yeah, that's going to be
November 6th.
Oh,
so
already losing.
We're going to have to do, it can't be an afternoon round.
Yeah, it'd have to be, or you'd have to start at like noon at the latest, I guess, or 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which I have no problem doing.
Okay. We'll make it work. We'll make it work.
So we'll, yeah, let's, what I'll do is I got it planned. I'm going to head there. I'm going to drive to you.
Okay.
Beat you. Do a pod that night.
Ooh, I like that. Yep.
Go to Two Tides Brewing.
Got to. Must.
And then the next day I'll do my real life stuff and work stuff and then head home.
Sounds like a great day. Sounds like a...
Do some content, some videos.
Yeah. Yeah, we need more videos on the reels, the TikToks. Still trying to figure that out.
You should have seen me yesterday when my irons came in.
I saw a picture you put out on some Discord.
Yeah, that was on the head covers Discord, yeah. But I was like, man, this is a perfect reel. So I had it on and my phone. I opened the door and I see the box, the TaylorMade box just sitting there. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Like walking out and I like made these sounds. And then I look over and then there's like five dogs barking. Chalk all over my driveway and on my patio, whatever it's called,
yeah.
Front porch, and I'm like, man, this is terrible. So I just was like, you know what, we'll try it again.
How do they look?
They're sick. I got the TaylorMade P7 MC, the raw.
Okay.
Just came out. However, I made two mistakes when ordering them.
The grips.
Which are going to force me to send them back.
No, no.
Yeah. It's just, you know, you spend money on clubs and then you get them and they're not right.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
So it's either I send them back, get my money back, redo the whole process, or I just spend more money to make them right.
Yeah.
So I need to change the shafts to what I was actually fitted for and... The grips are, I need four wraps underneath, and these came standard. Probably more my fault than anybody, than TaylorMade's. Not going to throw shade on TaylorMade. But, you know, they look cool. They look nice.
Where did you get fit?
To get them. Club Champion.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And you ordered them from them or from just from TaylorMade?
No, I just did it right from TaylorMade's website.
Yeah.
Because... There's some things that Club Champion does. They put this thing called puring.
Yeah.
They pure your, you know what that is? Mm-hmm. And from everybody that I trust in the industry, it's puring your iron or puring the shaft is just a money-making scam.
Sure.
So that's bullshit. I'm not interested in that. There's a couple other things. I might have it right here.
So I did the puring because I figured, hell, why not? I'm already paying, you know, X amount of money.
Right.
I figured it couldn't hurt, but yeah, I don't, you know, if I was just going to, if I'm going to buy another set, I probably wouldn't do it. But at the time I just figured, sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was the one thing that I was like, it was like $220.
Yeah.
Which, you know, isn't a whole lot of money, but you know, I don't really trust it. And, so we're going to go back to the drawing board. We're going to figure it out. I found the same irons, not the raw ones, on eBay.
Yeah.
I've had some good success buying clubs on eBay.
Have you?
And that have pretty much everything that I wanted in them.
Yeah.
So I might go that route. I don't know. I had a couple beers when I ordered them.
Yeah.
Kind of like one of those deals where you like make a, I don't even know what the purchase is called. You buy something and then like the next day you wake up and you're like buyer's remorse.
Yeah, regret.
Yeah, big regret. Big, like every NFT I've ever bought. I
bought a driver on eBay 2 years ago and it was an M5 TaylorMade. And I stroked that thing. Playing buddies that I play with all the time started calling me eBay every time I pulled out the driver. All right, let's go eBay, and I would just pipe it. And I've put that sucker away. I'm after last weekend, I'm thinking about pulling it back out. But yeah, that was the only club I've actually. I was very because you know there's so many fake Scotties and stuff people sell on there. So I haven't bought a ton of clubs on there, but that driver was legit. I got a heck of a deal on it too. I think I paid like $120. For that M5.
I did the same thing with the driver that I have M6.
Yeah.
I got on eBay for $175.
Yeah.
And it had a good shaft in it. And I was destroying it. I mean, it was great. And then I went and got fitted for like a real shaft.
Yeah.
And I still have it. I tried the... The Sim 2 Max, and I just really like the way this looks. So I'm gonna hit it till the face cracks.
Yeah, I might should go back to it. Right now I've got the Cobra, the DeChambeau Big Bomber, but and it actually looks really good. It's probably me honestly, but I've lost the driver terribly. But no negative talk.
Hey, but good thing we're going to have Bill next week on the podcast
right. So we That's can talk right. about it. My man, Bill. Let's go. Went and saw Bill yesterday. Told him, yeah, so I've got our member guest starting this week. Starts tomorrow. And I had a horrendous round Saturday with my dad. It was very, very terrible. But I was frustrated. So I go in there. I'm talking to Bill. Let him know, hey, I got the member guest. And I can't hit a ball. My putter has been immaculate. So I had a putting lesson. He fixed my putter, rolling the ball fantastically. But I have trouble getting it there to the green. But I was missing left. I was missing right. Didn't know where to aim. You know, just a double miss. It's awful. So I went in there, and I realized I had way too many swing thoughts after talking to him for a little bit. You know, I'm sitting there like thinking about our lessons. Like, okay. Got to get my hands higher. I've got to swing left. I've got to hit. I got to get more degrees down on the ball. All this while I'm on the course. And he was like, no. You can't. You have one swing thought. It can only be about your backswing or your setup. Nothing in the downswing, nothing else. And you take that one thought, and that's all you think about for the whole round. Mm. Whether you hit it good or bad or whatever happens, you ride that swing thought the whole round. So I'm going to try that. We messed around. Nothing too technical. Played a few holes on TrackMan and watch some things. My swing's gotten a lot better. I think I told you I was like 10 degrees in to out. I didn't have one over two, and I actually had some negative, like some fades. It was all negative one to positive one swing direction. So very pleased with that. I just have to find the face a little better. Got to control my hands a little bit. But I'm feeling good.
So
I'm feeling
positive. Member guest this weekend coming up?
Yeah, starts tomorrow is our practice round. No, this is Oldfield. This is here.
Oh, this is Oldfield. Okay.
Playing with a listener of the show, Mr. JCV Goff, who is actually Mr. Recruiting Solutions, big-time sponsor.
Okay.
So, yeah, him and I got a practice round tomorrow and then starts Friday. We've got 5 9-hole matches Friday and Saturday. Hopefully we can get into the shootout. I don't know if my swing can hold up in a shootout right now, but I would love to get there.
Y'all have... what's your Calcutta look like?
I don't know. I think they decide all that tomorrow. So we have the practice round, and then there's like a putting contest, an open bar, some stuff where I think they're going to throw all that out tomorrow night.
One of the guys I used to work with used to work here in Charlotte at Quail Hollow. Mm. And obviously one of the bigger money clubs in the Southeast.
Yeah,
for sure. He used to tell me that their Calcutta would get up to like $1.2 million.
Oh, my. Yeah, we won't have
and like,
that.
No one even cared. Like, yeah. It was no big deal. And I've heard stories of, shout out to the For the People podcast with J.J. Killeen and John Peterson, but like the oil, like in Midland, Texas, or the oil money, like theirs will get up to $800, $900
million. Oh, my gosh.
With no problem.
Yeah. I couldn't swing the club with that much money riding, you know, even if I had it.
No.
You know, I wouldn't want to lose it. Oh.
That's the one thing, man, and this isn't to, like, say that I want to play in your member guest. Having worked in the golf industry for so long, like, I want to play in a member guest, like, so bad.
You haven't played
one? I had an opportunity in 2020,
yeah,
to play at Florence Country Club.
Good track.
So my buddy's a member there. He had just joined like earlier that year, and they had never filled every spot for the member guests before. Well, this was they canceled it the year, maybe this was 2021, and they canceled it the year before because of COVID.
Yeah,
and they were having it again. So he signed up and they had too many people. And so because he was like the newest member, they kicked him out of the member guest. For like these guys that haven't played it in 10 years. They just wanted to play it, which I think from a club standpoint, if we ever get a head pro on, we can talk to him about this, but I would prefer the guy that's 35 years old, a brand new member, to get into the member guest rather than the 75-year-old who's been a member for 40 years.
He's played every one of them.
Because that 35-year-old is going to give you that money for the club for years to come.
Yeah, makes
sense. So now you've given him a sour taste in his mouth.
Ours?
And I was pissed because I was so pumped, man. I had my handicap ready. I had everything going.
Padded it.
And I was playing. I was doing everything. And then I get a call like the Friday before, or a text, and it's like, hey, this is what happened. I'm like, oh.
So ours filled up in 20 minutes, I think, as soon as they released it. And I was, it was 48 teams to start. And I was at like 56. And so they said, hey, we're going to expand it because we have so much interest. They expanded it to 55, I think. So still out. And so I'm talking to the pro and he's like, yeah, we might expand it one more time. So they did. They expanded it to 60 and I got in.
Is this your first year playing in it?
In this one, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I didn't join last year in time. It was already full by the time I joined last year because I joined late last year. So. Yeah, this will be my first year playing. It's the 1732 Cup because the old field is 1732. So, yeah, should be fun, man. Should be fun. Member guests are always fun. I tend to...
They were, like, working them were... When I used to work them, they were my favorite week of the year.
Yeah.
Because the members were happy.
Mm-hmm.
They were just hammered the whole time.
Yeah.
And
tends to be my problem.
Like, they would tip the shit out of you, too. Like, they were so drunk, if you did anything nice for them. Or especially if they won the Calcutta.
Yeah.
Like, one course I was working at, the team that won member guest. This is when I was working outside, so washing clubs and picking balls.
Yeah.
And we were there that night, and they just came up, and they gave us, like, $2,000.
Mm.
The outside staff. They were just like, here you go, guys.
Yeah.
They were so drunk, but they won. They won member guest. So, for them, it was like...
Love it.
I mean, they were all millionaires anyway, so...
Yeah.
But the $2,000 meant nothing to them. All they cared about was winning member guests.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
were the member guest champs for 20... Whatever this year was, 2008.
Yeah. So I played with JCV Goff. We played with him at the Chichesi member guest a couple times. And that one's always pretty fun, but most of those guys out there take it pretty seriously. And we like to have a good time, so we kind of put ourselves out of that one. I have not made a member guest shootout, so that's my goal, is to get into the shootout. I've not made it into one. But those are awesome. The shootouts, watching, you got the whole club there, 150 people, 200 people surround right. you, following you every hole. Oh, yeah, I mean, put me in it.
All the wives come out to watch.
Yeah, put me in it. So I got to play hard, got to grind hard, man.
Well, good luck this week.
Thanks, dude. I'm going to try to actually get some content. I don't know how much I obviously can't film a reel every time, but maybe I'll get some content put on our story. Keep all
just as
updated.
Long as it's not your golf swing, I think we'll be okay.
Hey, my golf swing looks good. It just the ball doesn't go where I want it to, but it looks
just
good.
Just don't put the shot tracker
that's
up.
That's right, yeah. No shot tracers. But so yeah. Looking forward to it. Maybe we'll get you in there next year, Team Web 3 Putts, see if we can win it.
Look, again, this was not me trying to get into a member guest. This was just a conversation starter.
Hey, no, I'm just saying, hey, Web 3 Putts needs a team. Team, what?
It's more important for a sponsor than for me.
yeah, we got to keep our sponsors happy.
Yeah.
I have
Live Minute. We got to do Live Minute.
Okay, hit us with the Live Minute. You're the expert.
All right. We had Bangkok last week, Thailand.
Mm.
Great Pad Thai, obviously.
Love Pad Thai.
One of the top amateurs in the world before he turned pro to join Live, Eugenio Lopez Chikara. From Oklahoma State,
mm-hmm.
took home the prize, the championship, shooting 19 under, and course that looked pretty wide open from when I was watching it on Saturday night and Friday night on TV number 2. Patrick Reed came in second, Paul Casey, pretty good tournament. Don't think the course was nearly as difficult as it has been.
Mm.
This week they're going to Jeddah, which is in Saudi Arabia, which I believe is where they played the European Tour event in, I guess it's in the spring, early spring, late winter.
Mm-hmm.
So going to be cool. You know, it's harder again, even more difficult now to watch because the time difference. You know, I was watching it at... I believe the shotgun started at 11 o'clock a.m. their time. So that was 10 p.m. our time here.
Mm.
So
late night.
I was up late. I was up late watching it. Had football on one TV and then Live on the other. And then when I went to bed, I was watching on my phone. But real exciting in my bedroom. not a whole lot. You know, they're still trying to get their OWGR points. They partnered with a strategic alliance with the MENA Tour,
mm-hmm.
which is the Middle East and North Africa Tour. Hasn't actually played a tournament since before COVID.
Yeah.
So I'm not real sure how that's going to work.
Great partnership.
I did read that the OWGR said that they needed to have a cut, and the plan was for the Bangkok event, their plan was that they were going to make a cut after 36 holes. However, they had, I don't know what they were cutting it down to.
Yeah.
But they had so many people tied at one score that it was going to go to like 43, T43. Mm. So they were going to only cut five players.
Yeah.
So they were like, you know, we're not doing it this week, which is interesting. And so, yeah, they're going to might see the first cut this week. If they have a cut, from what I've read, actually, I'm sorry, that would only left four players because Brandon Grace WD'd after round one after shooting 65. So still trying to do that. I did see that John Rahm, he won his National Open in Spain. He did say that
big congrats. You know,
he's been the one guy. What's that?
He said he gave out a big shout-out. Big congrats.
He did, and he's been the one dude that's like top player in the world that didn't, you know, go to live, that has been like the most open to anything. He wants the Europeans to be able to play in the Ryder Cup. He would love to play with Sergio again. Mm-hmm. He doesn't shit on, he's not like Rory, who takes every chance he can get to shit on guys that want to live.
Yeah.
Although Rory's kind of backtracked a little bit, saying, you know, he had mentioned that it doesn't make sense that someone like DJ or Cam Smith are not in the top 100 in the world because they're not getting rankings, even though everybody knows they're some of the best players in the world.
Right.
But yeah, you know, Rahm had some good things to say and about Chikara winning. You know, just a 20-year-old, just made $4.75 million, whatever, you know, on top of whatever he did. So
just another weekend.
Just another weekend, and then the Shriners was great too. You had Cantlay and Tom Kim going down to the wire. Cantlay blew it on 18.
No bogeys though from Tom. What a performance!
I mean, yeah. How do you beat that, man?
Going back,
I was thinking. Go ahead.
Let's go back to live for a second. I don't know if you watch fishing, but they should do it like the fishing. You know, the Bassmasters and all do. They have a cut every day, and so if they actually let more people play, they could cut it. And if they had 60, maybe you cut 20 each day. You have 20 on the last day, since only 3 days, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, but then you screw up the shotgun, which, again, I think you and I both agree
the shotgun has to go. Yeah.
But you screw up the shotgun because then you have A and B groups on holes.
Mm. Okay.
With 48, you know what I mean, they get...
We'll cut it 12 each day or something. I don't know.
I agree. I mean, they're going to have to make some changes. And I think, speaking of LIV and kind of the PGA Tour... It's starting to seem like Tom Kim might be like one of the players that the PGA Tour has to protect from going to live. Like one of the top players that they are like, oh shit, he went. I mean, he's 20 years old, 22, whatever he is. He's won twice on the PGA Tour. He's 20. Mm-hmm. And he's already won twice. And he's becoming a fan favorite. People know who he is. And
nice kid, seems like.
Nice kid. Loves his McDonald's and whatnot. He might be in that top 10 of guys that the tour's got to work. I'm not saying that he's talking to live, but they have to protect to make sure he doesn't go. Yeah, I think Matsuyama's probably number one.
Better not run him off, yeah.
Right, Matsuyama's one. Who he pledged his allegiance to the tour again this week when they're playing the Zozo over in Japan. Mm. You know, Tom Kim's up there, Rory obviously, but you know, I think the Asian players are very important to the PGA Tour.
Speaking of them, you know, you got Tom Kim, Siwoo Kim, who I followed today. But do you think they know where Anthony Kim is?
I would guess, from what I know about Anthony Kim, and regardless of his heritage,
he doesn't hang out with them.
Guess that we have a better chance of talking to Pat Perez about that than Siwoo Kim or Tom.
Okay, just throwing that out there. I don't know. I like it though, Pat Perez.
I don't know, but I did just find out that I'm going to LA in February.
Okay.
And so when I'm not doing, you know, my normal day-to-day stuff, I am going to be scouring the streets of Los Angeles, which, you know, pray for me.
Yeah.
For Anthony Kim. So there'll be tweets. I'm going to put up the big AK bat signal up in the air with his belt buckle.
Yep, got to.
I'm going to do something.
Get with Commissioner Gordon.
If he's in L.A., we're going to find him.
Yep. Run it by the Batman and Commissioner Gordon. Swap the sign out. AK. I thought he was in Texas.
I mean, he's a
ghost.
Loch Ness monster.
He's a ghost skull pirate. He's a ghost pirate.
Yeah, or Sasquatch. Like, I thought I saw him. Oh, it wasn't him.
Yeah.
Thought I saw him in
Bigfoot.
Mormon, Oklahoma. Thought I saw him in Dallas, Texas. Thought I saw him in LA. Meanwhile, he's probably like chilling in Arkansas somewhere. Just
If anybody that's listening has seen him, please let us know. Email us.
He might be in Brazil. Our Brazilian friends.
He might be, dude. I saw we got so we still have our 5 in Brazil. We gained some Indonesian listeners.
I mean, that's the power of the Live Minute.
The Live Minute, baby. Bringing the world together on Web3Putz right here. Right in your living room, wherever you listen to this show. One more thing on golf over here, Augusta Secrets, our segment.
Oh, yeah. I saw you had
Augusta Secret.
You had something there.
I have a little secret tonight, more of a little tidbit.
Yep.
But this comes from a very reliable source, who I will not name. Starting next year, Augusta will have female caddies. They will allow female caddies, and they will use the same locker room as the male caddies.
Really?
So there's that.
You ever worked in a caddy shack before?
I have not ever worked at a caddy shack. Never worked on a golf course.
Oh, I've worked in two caddy shacks before, and I'll just say that I would not allow a woman in there.
Yeah, that's what when
I would not allow my daughter. I shouldn't say that. I would not allow my daughter to work in a caddy shack.
Right.
Unless it was like a club that was like, if Oldfield was like, we're gonna bring caddies on. They're gonna be high school kids.
Mm.
You're gonna pay them $20 a bag, whatever.
Yeah.
And plus tip. But like these other places that are these guys are professional caddies.
Yeah.
That go from. You know, Augusta from November to April or May. And then once that hits, then they go up north and then they caddy like that. And they just bounce back and forth, north and south. And, oh, my God.
Yeah, so.
I could do caddy stories for like 10 pods straight of just things that would blow your mind.
Oh, I'm sure. I was very shocked that they were going to even allow female caddies to start with, much less put them in the same. Locker room,
caddy shack, yeah.
So thought that was
good
interesting.
For Augusta.
Equality.
Interesting to see.
We're all about equality on Web3Putz.
All about equality, but let's see what happens with the Live guys if they allow them to play. Then it'll just be like, we'll see what happens there.
That's right. Have you played any golf lately?
Not since that little wingding.
Okay.
I just don't have time, man. Like,
I hope you.
I might be playing next week.
What's the logo there on your shirt?
The week after. What?
What's the logo you're rocking there on your shirt?
It's called Tripine.
Tripine. Is that a club?
It's not like a golf club.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, it's sick if it is.
Yeah, I like it. Are you a hoodies on the golf course guy or not?
I'm totally down for them. I don't have any golf. I'm a big logo guy. I like a good club logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any hoodies that are logoed. So I the sweatshirts that I own would not be appropriate for the golf course. But if I had a golf course hoodie, yeah, I would rock it.
Yeah, I used to be like anti anything but a collared shirt tucked in to your. I think that might just be like the days of working at the golf courses,
the
clubs, and now I'm just like, whatever, man. You want to wear shirt on tucked, don't care. You want to wear a hoodie, don't care.
I don't like the shirt untucked still like that. I don't know. It depends where you are, but I don't favor that, but I'm cool with the hoodie.
Yeah, I'm not really big into the personally shirt untucked. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of pants. I really enjoy wearing pants to play golf.
I do too, but it's got to be cool. I'm not going to do it in the summer here.
No, I won't either. But like right now, pants would be fine.
I got some friends that'll rock pants no matter what. I'm just like, dude. And they're dying. You can see them just sweating through them. I don't know why you're doing that to yourself, but yeah. But I do love it.
Two of the four guys I play with wear pants.
This isn't the tour, dude. Come on.
I'm like, bro.
Even
97 degrees with 100% humidity.
Even Liv doesn't wear pants. Yeah, chill. Well, cool, man. I know we're at our hour, but was there anything else that you had for us tonight, Roos?
It's Russ, first of all.
I know. Russ.
I don't have anything else. I think...
I did have a quick question while we're here.
Yes.
Do you have a name for your putter? Do you name your putter?
No.
No. Okay.
Do you?
Historically, no, but I think I am. I thought about this tonight before the show, and I'm going to name her Eliza.
Eliza.
It's a Bettinardi. Everybody calls her Betty, but her name's Eliza.
Okay.
So going forward, Eliza, I hope she's hot because I'm going to need her this weekend. So think about it. Maybe you want to name yours. Maybe it helps. I don't know. But yeah.
I had a buddy that used to name his, shout out Chuck. He used to name his putter, or no, his 60 degree wedge.
Mm.
He named it Daniel.
Daniel, okay.
Because anytime he got around the green, he would like to do his patented flopper doodle Daniel.
Okay.
And try to flop it. And like he would look for every opportunity to flop it. So it was Daniel all day.
Daniel, baby. I like that.
Never named a club.
I hadn't, but this guy, I told you I left my putter a couple episodes ago. And he's like, here, yep. You left Betty. Because I had the... He could tell a Bettinardi on the grip, and so he's like, "Yeah, don't leave Betty." And I thought about it. I said, "Man, I'm sure everybody in the world that has a Bettinardi names their putter Betty." So, Eliza, it is.
Eliza.
From this day forward, Eliza.
All right. Well, let's hope that relationship lasts.
I hope so. We're gonna hope Eliza's all dressed up, feeling hot this weekend.
Treat her well.
Yes, sir. So follow us on our socials at Web3Putts. Email us web3putts@gmail.com. Follow, like, subscribe, rate, review. We would definitely appreciate it. It helps the pod. And thank you all for listening.
Any tax experts out there?
Yeah.
Contact us. We need you.
DM us, email us. We got some exciting guests coming up the next couple weeks, so stay tuned.
Instructor of golf next week.
Instructor of golf. Big time Bill coming on the show. Rusty, enjoy the rest of your week. I'll see you on the links.
All right, Cole, good luck this weekend.
Yes, sir.
See ya.